Before we get into it, just a couple reminders as far as Wednesday nights go. Next week will be our last study outside on the lawn. We're going to conclude this series. So, of course, we invite you guys out. It's been a blessing, and I certainly pray that the Lord has taught you and blessed you through this. But next week will be the last week. The week after that, which is the 6th of September, Wednesday night, we will have communion as we always do. Something a little bit different. A girl named Lindsay Morton is going to be here to lead us in that time as far as the worship and afterglow goes. And as always, we encourage you, but we want to make extra sure that you're aware that that's going on, that we invite you. She's going to be a blessing, but most especially, the Lord's going to be a blessing that night. So we invite you guys out. After that, of course, a couple weeks after that, the men's and women's study starts up, so just keep your eyes out. We'll be telling you about it. But let's turn in our Bibles, and if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand, but we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 28. If you'd like a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. They'd be glad to get one to you. Isaiah 28. Tonight, we're going to talk about the cornerstone, Jesus as the cornerstone. I have a good amount that the Lord has put on my heart, so we're not going to do too much of a background as far as what we have been talking about. We're going to get right into it, so let's pray. Father, even as we just sang on that last song, Lord, it's our desire, Lord, would you bless us with being able to see the light of your glory? God, would you bless us with insight, Lord, and would you speak to our hearts where we're at? God, and would you show us the foundation that you've laid in Jesus, and would we be, Lord, not content, not satisfied to have our lives, to have this church, to have anything around us be built on anything less than Jesus? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, and I just want to read to you basically what God says to Israel at this point in their history where they are very close to being taken into captivity. They're going to suffer punishment for turning away from the Lord, and Israel is in this place right now where they're going to be torn down. In fact, in their... on their horizon, they see nothing but destruction coming. And yet it's at this point in Isaiah 28:16 that God takes some time, and instead of talking about the destruction coming, he talks about a work. He talks about a building up that he's going to do. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. And feel free to ask the person next to you, where in the world is that as we turn? Because tonight, I'm not positive, but I have an idea we're going to be turning a decent amount. Psalm 118, and as you turn to this psalm, let me give you a little bit of a background as far as this psalm goes. Psalms 113 to 118 are what the Israelites called the Hallel Psalms. Hallel is one of the Hebrew words in the Old Testament which is translated to our English word praise. And these psalms, these Hallel Psalms, were used especially for the big feasts. The Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and all the other big feasts that God had called the Israelites to observe. And so they would use them, they would sing them, they would recite them during this time. Psalms 113 and 114 would be sung before the feast. And as far as the Passover goes, Psalms 115 through 118 would be sung after the last cup at the Passover. So why is this important? Well, we know that Jesus, as he spent that incredibly important special time with his disciples in the upper room during the Passover, as he celebrated that Passover with his disciples. And as they did indeed drink that cup, which he said was the cup of the new covenant, as they left there, as they headed up towards the Mount of Olives, Matthew, the disciple, the apostle who wrote the gospel that emphasizes Jesus as the coming king, as the Messiah, Matthew records this, and you don't need to turn there, but in the 26th chapter of Matthew, verse 30, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. According to Jewish custom, we can make a pretty solid assumption that the hymn that they closed up there was Psalm 118. And guys, before we read it, I do just want to encourage you, take some time throughout the week, if you got some time, read this psalm in that context. Picture Jesus and his disciples singing it, reciting it, and think about what was happening at that point and in that time. In the Old Testament, we know, of course, that a lamb was to be eaten at the Passover feast. But in the gospel record, as Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, celebrating, enjoying the time of Passover, we don't read about a lamb. We read about the bread, we read about the cup, but no lamb. And I think we know why, right? Because as they celebrated that Passover, and as they left the upper room, and as they walked around Jerusalem and they made their way up towards the Mount of Olives, they were walking with that lamb. Remember what John said, John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus walking by, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb, of course, is Jesus. And there they are reciting this very psalm, this 118th psalm, as they walk with the fulfillment of the sacrifices, with the fulfillment of who the Messiah is and how God is going to bring redemption to mankind. Before we read the verses that I'm going to focus on, you know what? In Psalm 118, you guys are there, right? I had you turn there. Verses 25 through 27. So interesting, as they sing this song, what's the first couple words there? Save now. Do you know what that is? That's Hosanna. Hosanna means save now. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Imagine what images were conjured up as just a handful of days before this, Jesus rode on a donkey and entered Jerusalem. And what did the people cry out? They cried out, Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And if it hadn't hit the disciples before that point, it had to at least conjure up some images. Wait a second, what's going on here? Verse 27, the next verse there. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horn of the altar. The lamb, the sacrifice, had not been forgotten on that Passover evening. The lamb was right there. The lamb was walking with them. The lamb would the very next day be put on a cross and sacrifice for your sins and my sins. But also in this psalm, we have something very important. If you back up a few verses to verse 22 and 23. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Can you imagine? I can just slightly imagine what that must have been like to be reciting and singing this psalm that they had heard many times, but there they are reciting these very words about the Messiah. It must have been very powerful. The cornerstone, there he is. In a sense, the cornerstone ready to present himself to be rejected in order that God might raise him from the dead and lay in Zion a foundation for So what is a cornerstone? Well, basically, a cornerstone is this. A cornerstone is a big stone that fits, believe it or not, in the corner of the building that you are building. And what it does is it joins the two walls together. And the cornerstone would be any stone that would be on the corner. But the chief cornerstone would be the one on the foundation. The chief cornerstone was a foundational stone, a supportive stone. So because of this, the chief cornerstone is the first stone that would be laid, and all other stones placed upon it. So I guess if we need to just boil it all down, essentially, what does that cornerstone do? Well, it binds. It binds those two walls together, joins them together. It supports. It holds up. It comes first. And it's the foundation. If you look that word up, cornerstone, in the English dictionary, it pretty much gives those same definitions as far as being that stone in a building, it built with stones, of course, that joined those two walls together. But then there's a couple other definitions that I like, and they're very true. It says something that is essential, indispensable, or basic. The chief foundation on which something is constructed or developed. And, you know, you might use it as, you know, well, what was the cornerstone of that guy's argument? In other words, what was the crux? What was the main point? And of course, in regards to Jesus, it means so much more. Essential, indispensable, basic. The chief foundation upon which something is constructed or developed. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about Jesus as he is the chief cornerstone. You know what? In these places that we've already read tonight in the Old Testament and Isaiah there and in the Psalms, we of course, well, at least I hope we can see clearly that these are prophetic. These are speaking of the Messiah, the King that's going to come. But you know what? If it weren't clear enough already, Jesus himself made it very clear. We have in Matthew 21, Jesus is telling a parable, and he's speaking in regards to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he's speaking to them. And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Jesus himself refers to himself as this cornerstone, as the fulfillment of this prophecy. And I don't know about you guys, but I think the first thing that we often think of when we think of that rejected cornerstone is that simple fact that it was rejected. And that's the emphasis that Jesus is putting on it here. And he's saying, "You guys, I'm right in front of you. The Messiah, the promised one, the chosen one, the Redeemer, I'm right in front of you. And you're rejecting me." And certainly that's an emphasis that is here where God is trying to point out that, hey, the main thing, the main point has been missed for something far less. We think of the Jews rejecting the stone as they built the temple, and we think of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, saying things like, "This man who does not keep the Sabbath is not of God." And we hear them saying things like, "That seducer said, 'I will arise after 3 days.'" And we hear him saying and crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." That, in essence, is the builders rejecting that cornerstone. And I have to say that one of the most interesting things to me about this fact of the builders rejecting this cornerstone is the very fact that it's not the unskilled people. It's not the minimum wage guys that have tossed the cornerstone to the side. It's not the people that, you know, it's not the herdsmen and the shepherds that have missed the fact that, oh, that's the cornerstone. But it's the builders. It's the guys whose profession is to know construction and to know what that material is for and when it's supposed to be used and when it's supposed to be put into place. It's the same thing with the religious leaders, because in essence, they were all about the Jewish law, and for lack of a better way to put it, they were about the business of God. And yet, when the Messiah came, they missed it. When the one spoken about in the very law they spent hours, countless hours studying, when he showed up, they missed it, to the extent that they wanted him killed. And to the extent where they brought him before Pilate and they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." You know, it's one thing, and I know several of you guys work construction, it's one thing for the guy whose responsibility it is, the foreman, to, you know, come to the super as he shows up there and go, "Man, the guy from McDonald's said this would work fine." Because the guy from McDonald's isn't supposed to know how to build the foundation, how to pour it. But these are the builders. These are the guys that are supposed to know that very thing. And so, you know what? I hope it requires us to stop and soberly consider that it's very possible for you and I to miss the point also. For you and I in our daily lives, for you and I as we wake up, maybe we open up the Bible. For you and I in our church, as we go to church, guys, the potential is so strong for us to miss Jesus. The potential is so strong for our lives and our families to be built on another foundation other than Jesus. And you know what? These guys, these builders of the temple, and these Pharisees, these religious leaders, are prime examples for you and I to say, you know what? We can never discount the fact that we can miss the whole point entirely. So one of the things, obviously, when we talk about the rejecting of the cornerstone is we think about that very fact that it was rejected. That which God was going to use to build everything upon was rejected. That's heavy. But you know what? There's one other thing that I really want to think about tonight when we think about that cornerstone, and that's this. That God is building. That God is building something. The whole fact that there is a cornerstone, logically, we must conclude that something's being built. So what's God building? He's building a lot. There's a few things that pop into my mind in regards to Israel. We even see now as we look at the news and maybe we flip through and we see CNN or we have the news on our homepage as we pull up and we get online and we see, you know what? God is setting the stage. We don't know exactly how it's going to go down. We don't know when it's going to happen, but God is preparing. And in regards to Israel, we know that God is working on Israel. We know that he's working on the land and he's working on the people. And we know that when Christ comes to set up his millennial kingdom, the Jews will finally and ultimately inherit and settle the promised land that they were always intended to have but always unable to possess. God's working as far as Israel goes. And what's the cornerstone? Jesus is. What else is God building? And this is real important in regards to us. God is building the church, the body of Christ. Remember Jesus, and he's with his disciples at Caesar Philippi, and he's there, and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give him all these ideas. And he says, "Okay, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says that you're the Christ. We've come to believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds. This is in Matthew 16, but Jesus says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," and Jesus is speaking of himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." God is in the process of building his church. He has been for quite some time, and he's still doing it. And the most important part of that sentence is God is building it. You and I aren't building the church. God is building the church. And he's in the process of doing it, and he knows exactly what he is doing. And it's all upon a foundation, and that's Jesus. You know, will you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2? First Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. You know what? Let's start at verse 5. Ye also, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also, talking to the church at that time, it's to you, it's to me. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You and I were living stones, but we're not the rock. We're living stones as a church being built upon that foundation, which is the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And so God is, of course, building and working in regards to Israel, in regards to the church, and then more personally, he's working in you. He's working in me. And he's building up you, and he's building up me. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ," or created in Christ Jesus, "for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And Colossians 2, 6 through 7, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving." Rooted, built up in Jesus, established in the faith. God is working on us. God is working in us. He's building us. So, if God is working in Israel, and he's working as far as prophecy goes, and he's working really as far as the end of this age goes, and the cornerstone is what? Jesus. Good. And if God is building the church, and he has been for some 2,000 years, and the cornerstone is what? Very good. And if God is working in you, and he says Jesus is the cornerstone, can we trust that Jesus is a solid enough cornerstone for my life, for your life, for what we're going through? We look at it in that perspective. The cornerstone to what God is doing in the universe is Jesus. He's building up the body of Christ, the cornerstone, Jesus. You know what? I think the stone is solid and sure enough for what we go through. And I think Jesus, I believe strongly, Jesus as the cornerstone is strong enough for you and I to rest upon, to be built up on. He's strong enough. And what else does that mean for us? As God is building us up on that foundation, remember, one of the key phrases in that is God is building. So you, stop. Stop building. Stop worrying about how it's going to get built. God is building. And then the question becomes, are we willing? Are you willing to let your life be built upon the one which all history and all prophecy and all eternity is built upon? And are you willing to spend time with the builder, looking over the blueprint and finding and discovering what he's trying to do and what the end product is going to look like, what he desires, what he requires? Are we willing to spend time with the one that's building and look at his blueprint and not just do it all on our own and not worry because we think it's never going to get done, but instead trust him because he says he's building and because he's given us his sure word that we can go to? Jesus is the cornerstone. And eventually there will come that day. And in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's all about him. That saying, that phrase, the sticker, it's all about Jesus, is much more than just some trite thing. It really is, isn't it? As we look at the fact that God has chosen it to be all about Jesus. And in these final minutes, as we have some chance to consider this and talk about this, I want to get a little bit more practical. And I want to ask ourselves this question. We know that God is building. We know that at any building, you have to start with the foundation, and that foundation has to be firm and sure. So the question is, how important is it that the cornerstone or the foundation of the building be built of the right material? Guys that are in construction, do materials matter at all? A little bit. How important is it that what's built on top of the foundation is of the right material? A little bit, right? It's essential. It's essential that the foundation be built of the correct material. You can't put in a synthetic. You can't put in something different. You have to put in the right material. The same thing with what you build upon that foundation. It has to be of the right material. And it wouldn't feel very good. Your heart might skip a beat if the guy in charge of pouring the foundation came up to you and said, sure, concrete's one way of doing it, but I got another idea. Let's try something else. That would scare you, right? First of all, it doesn't work, right? Because the plans, they would have never chose you as the contractor if that's what you want to do with the foundation. So you'd be scared, right? They bring that up. But then what you say, okay, well, what are you thinking? Well, I was thinking grass. Let's make the foundation grass. Well, okay. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? What if they say, how about sand? Sand's useful. Let's use sand as the material for the foundation. And you know what? Obviously, you would get laughed off of that project. Fired. It would not go over well. The foundation has to be the right material. But what do we see people building their lives upon? What do we day after day see those building our lives upon? What have we been caught? If you're walking with the Lord, what has God taken you away from that you realize what you are building your life upon? A lot of people look to riches, don't they? If their income is good, if they have a certain amount of digits flowing through their bank account, everything's fine. The Bible says that riches are deceitful. In fact, Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath when it matters the most. In other words, on final inspection day, you're not going to pass. Riches don't get you by. So it's not a foundation worth building upon, is it? Another thing that we can build up ourselves upon is us. What we want to do, how we want to do it. Our bodies, our health, our intellect, what others think of us. Well, the Bible says that we are like grass that fades and like a flower that withers. What did we think of when we thought, when we pictured that guy saying, hey, let's build this building on grass? It's a joke, right? So how come we think we can do it our way? How come we think that which fades can really be a foundation that we build upon? But you know what's worse than that? James 4:14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor. How's that for a foundation? Well, I thought maybe like an air pocket, you know, for the foundation. It's not a very good idea, is it? To build upon the foundation of us, what we think is best. What about those that say, just go with your heart? Just go with what your heart says. Well, the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked. When you build a foundation, you want it to be true, right? You don't want it to be deceitful. You don't want it to look good on the outside, pass inspection. Are you in the clear if that building falls down the next month? No. No. Yet these are things that many people find themselves building their lives upon. And as Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, the bottom line is anything besides Christ. If you build your life on Christ, you're building your life on a rock. If you're not, you're building your house on a sand. Again, a foolish foundation. So in conclusion, as we continue just to bring it home, and what does this mean to us? The first thing I think of is how Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, in talking about those that do not put themselves upon the cornerstone, Jesus is their foundation, he says it then becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That cornerstone, if it doesn't become that foundation, it becomes a stone of stumbling. And guys, again, I'll say it again. We need to always be aware of the potential that we can miss the main thing. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And we can come to church, and it can be for the wrong reason. And we can try to be good to those people around us. It can be for the wrong reason. And guys, we just need to be aware that there's that extreme potential for us to be building in life, right? We build. Whether it be family, whether it be ministry or church, whether it be our lives. And there's that potential that we could be stepping back at the final project. And as we step back to look and see how it's all turned out, we trip over something. And it's the cornerstone. And we realize that we didn't build our lives upon Jesus. And that house is not going to stand. So as I said in conclusion, we need to be aware of that and bring it before the Lord. And say, God, let that foundation of Jesus be the foundation of me. And second of all, let God do the work. Let God do the work and make sure that Jesus is the foundation. There's a couple psalms that bring this right to home. How do we do that? How do we let God do the work? Psalm 71, verse 3. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Well, how did the psalmist let God work? He asked. And he cried out and he said, God, be my refuge. God wants to. God wants to work. And in the end, it turns out to be what? It turns out to be praise and proclamation in Psalms 62, verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. It turns into praise. And that's the whole point when God does the building, because the glory goes to Him and the praise goes to Him, and it becomes what He wants it to be. So I encourage you, ask God to work, ask God to build you up, ask God, stop and consider, because He'll show you, God, what am I building on? What is the most important thing? What has been laid first? What is the foundation? Because it's a question He'll answer if you're willing to ask Him. I'm going to go ahead and call the worship crew up here. So, like I said, in conclusion, don't find yourself tripping over the stone that was supposed to be the foundation. And number two, let Him do the work. Let Him build and watch Him build and be a part of it. But number three, and this is so important, and I want us to come back to this as we close up here tonight, and in truth, it's a great close for this whole series, but we're not closing up tonight. But that's this. Never underestimate God's estimate of His Son. Remember in Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. God has placed Christ as the cornerstone. You know what? It behooves us. It makes absolute sense. We must be urged to consider that fact and acknowledge that, you know what? God holds His Son in the highest esteem. Everything is built upon Him. So you know what? It doesn't make any sense to build upon sand, even if it sounds good and feels good. It only makes sense to build upon that which the God, our Creator, said, this is the material that I'll put my stamp of approval on. This is the material that will work. This is the material that won't fall. It's Jesus. God has chosen to make Jesus the foundation of all things, and He's offered Him to us to be the foundation that He wants to build us upon. Take Him up on it. Father God, we love You, and we love the way You reveal Yourself to us. And God, as we just barely scrape the surface of how we find Jesus in the Old Testament, we can come to no other conclusion but that, God, He is the cornerstone. Lord, and that He is of utmost importance to You. God, and if we choose anything else, it's spitting in Your face. God, thank You for Your mercy, and thank You for offering it to us. It's one thing to say, yes, that material is the best material to build upon. But Lord, in our world, the better the material, the more it costs, the harder it is to come by. Lord God, we thank You that You've given us Jesus as a free gift. Lord, and we put our faith in You, God, and we say, what a blessing. Lord, yes, we conclude there's no other foundation, but also, God, praise You that You're willing to lay Him as a foundation for our lives, God, because we have the potential and just the tendency to be all over the place, to fall, to stumble, to be weary, to crack, to bend, to break, God. Thank You for offering us the cornerstone of Jesus. We praise You. We praise Your name, Holy God. In Jesus' name, amen.